Hello and welcome to episode 63 Mission Darts Podcast. And Matt, before we start, I'm going to hold my hands up. I'm going to absolutely hold my hands up here. When I get things right, great. When I get them wrong, I hold my hands up. I said last week about the Harrow's points not working with any other dart. Apparently, they do work with the target dart. You need a different tool, apparently, but they are interchangeable, which makes me kind of think, why have other companies not done that then if they're all interchangeable? But anyway, I got it wrong. Our regulars let me know that I got it wrong, so I'm holding my hands up. Sorry about that. Got it wrong. We'll move on and try and get things more right in the future. But it still doesn't change my point on the fact that long points isn't the way to go. And I've had quite a lot of love for that, Matt. Quite a few people have emailed me directly, including Carl, who said he's got a YouTube channel. And he did a video where he changed his darts to a longer point, and it was horrendous. The balance was off, couldn't throw them. So he said, thanks for bringing that to people's attention. So that's all I'm going to say on it. We don't like to go over old stuff multiple times. So we'll move on with the exciting news that as we record this, you're at Modus. How's the practice going?
Practice. You've heard about my week this week, haven't you? Like,
Yes,
I've spent
yes,
most of the week putting out fires. So,
yes,
been running around like
yes.
an absolute maniac trying to get things. So, in terms of things, I've spent a lot of the week on the motorway. I've spent a lot of it running around trying to deal with various things, which is why we're here now. And I've got possibly the worst camera in the world going because, so visual viewers, I apologize, but I don't sincerely mean it, to be honest, because
No,
it's
to be fair, Matt's had a
you can hear
crazy
me.
week, and he's down in Portsmouth, and he's found a hotel room, and he's literally found an hour in his day before he gets stuck into the Modus tomorrow. So not the best preparation in the world. So, but we always want to give you the podcast. So thanks, Matt, for taking the time out to do it. We appreciate it, and I'm sure our viewers and listeners will also appreciate it. And if I'm right, will this be going out on Modus? Is Modus finals a Sunday or Saturday?
It'll
Like
all
the
be
last
over
day.
by the time people listen to this.
It'll
It's the
be over
final
by the time
Saturday
you
night.
listen to this. But the Euro Championship will be on finals, possibly.
Yes.
That's this week, isn't it? Yeah. Imagine putting that on the week you play Modus, man. That's a bit of a clash, isn't it? People aren't going to know what to watch.
Well, it's 2025. You can watch both.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you got your iPad in one hand and your phone in your other hand and TV on and everything's on the go. So I'm sure everybody's really looking forward to it. I'm right in thinking they'll all be live streamed on Pluto as normal, all your games and everything. So people will be
It's
able to
on
watch you if
Pluto
they haven't been able to
TV.
make it down there.
You can watch playbacks as well on YouTube if you miss the sessions as well. So there'll be lots of opportunity to see it. I'll let you know if it's worth watching or not. But I
Yeah, but
genuinely
I
don't
mean,
know.
no, and that's fair enough. But the interesting thing is, Matt, the last time anybody saw you throw a dart on TV would have been last December, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I've thrown a few darts on live stream. I certainly did some on my
Yes.
own channel the other day. I think it was Saturday night I had a throw. Because it's Saturday night, traditionally, you don't really get a lot of viewership. But my word, people should have been watching that because it was good. It was exciting. I think in the first 4 minutes, I'd already hit two 180s. And
Brilliant.
the 180s was just piling in. And not only that, the finishes. So I was doing like doubles. I went round the board on doubles. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. And it was just like, it was everything went in.
Wow.
So it was probably the best demonstration ever. But also, I don't think it was a very true reflection of where I am right now. Because if you watch that, you'd
Well,
go, this lad could beat Lou Littler. And
yeah,
actually, I
mate.
could probably not beat any of them. So.
But maybe you've said before, the more you practice, the worse you get sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe the lack of practice might do you a favor. So we shall see. And by sadly, by the time this goes out, we'll already know what's happened.
Sadly.
Yes, I'm saying sadly in a way that I can't sort of comment on, ooh, what's going on, because by the time people listen to this, they'll already know what's gone on. So it's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? Because we're recording this on the, I don't even know what day it is, Wednesday, and you're playing first game on the Thursday. So I've not been the biggest follower of Modus. So, and this is relevant. Explain to me how many games will you actually play per day?
Four a day. I can find out who the other players are. No, one is Hogan, one's Fallon Sherrick. Let's see who the other two are, because I should be able to get that up now. At the time we're looking at this.
Is it Robert Thornton? Or
it is Tom Sykes and Daniel Larson.
Oh, Daniel Larson.
Mission player,
that's
isn't
it? Name. Yeah, name from the past. No, I don't think so. You're not thinking of Dennis Nielsen, are you?
Yes, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. No, Daniel's. I think Daniel's been around for a while. Played in the World Championship a few times. So it's going to be very, very interesting. So as we always do, a bit of a roundup on last week. Did you see any? So cast your mind back to last week, and did you see any of the European Championships in Hildesheim or not?
Not a lot of it, because, as you know, it's been a very hectic time, so I haven't been tuned too much into the darts. I've seen some clips, I've seen a few results and things, but not as much as I'd like to see.
Yeah, so I've got a couple of questions for you, which is, there were some ridiculous averages in it, for starters, and a stat was brought up, and I was like, okay, that Hildesheim has got the three highest averages ever on the European Tour all at the same place. I don't mean they all happened this weekend. I mean, over the period of time we've been having the European Tour, all the three highest ever averages are at Hildesheim, which was going to be my question.
Everyone loves the Halle 39. And not only that.
I was going to ask you, yeah, why?
In Hildesheim, there are two things. One, Hildesheim is the home of the Chateaubriand. That's where the steakhouse is. And everyone likes going for steakhouse and having Chateaubriand. So, yes, that's one. So it's not pies and chips and peas when you're in Hildesheim. It's Chateaubriand. Not only that, but you've got the all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet. And it also includes all-you-can-drink for like €35. So everyone's happy. All-you-can-eat and drink, €35.
Yeah,
that's where you find out you've got that old problem again of two hands and one mouth. So absolutely, one of the best places to go. And then if you're into pizza, you've got Death by Pizza, which I'm not a pizza fan, but I don't mind Death by Pizza. It's quite nice.
So maybe it is that the players are in such a happy frame of mind that they're thinking about their tea later that they play better. Maybe it's as simple as that.
What more could you want in life?
Well, it sounds good. It sounds good, but I was quite shocked by that stat. I was kind of thinking, well, why? Is it a cooler than anywhere else? Is the facilities better than anywhere else? And no, it clearly comes down to the fact there's an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet, beer included. That's got to be it, Matt. It's got to be that, simple as that. So Nathan Aspinall won it. And I saw, as you know, I've not been so well, so I was in bed watching it, and Nathan's from his first game, I was like, he looks on it. Something looks different. Quite fancy him to win it, and he did go on to win it. I think there was a chance one round he could have got beat, but he was pretty awesome the entire tournament. So something's changed there. Do believe he's changed management, so that could have something to do with it. But played unbelievable. But it seemed to be the tournament of everybody turning up. Dirk van Dijsselbloem averaged 118. Like, where's Dirk been? You know, and suddenly comes and does that. It was like, okay, what's going on here? He's playing well. Nathan's playing well. Peter Wright even had a bit of a run. He looked to be playing better. Maybe he's getting used to the weight loss and everything. So, yeah, really, really good tournament. Lots of big averages. Hopefully we'll see some this week.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to the time of year. You're playing so much darts on stages. People build up the preparation. Let's not also, you know, ignore the elephant in the room that not all the players on the tour are full-time professionals. But they do so. Like, if you're in the Grand Prix, the Slam, the Players' Championship Finals, the Worlds, if you're in three of those, you're going to say, right, Gaffer, I'm not available for 2 to 3 months. If you want to sack me, sack me. But there's three tournaments here where I can earn a year's salary just by turning up. And if I win games, I'm going to do all right. So I'm either going to go really, really part-time or I'm not going to be in at all. And there'll be people that do that, that have this sort of period of time off, especially those that are self-employed as well or sort of work for family or friends. They'll probably have that sort of race. So they'll be able to practice and build up and prepare properly, and they'll be prime and ready for this time of year. You know, there's no point in being at your best in February. You're 10 months away from the World Championship.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. Talk me a little bit more about you then with regards to this is going out on Sunday. If you've won it, if you've won this week, what happens next?
I go and buy a load of extra toys because I'll have some extra money in the pocket. That's pretty much as much as
like you need an excuse. Do you not go forward to some Champions Weekend?
You go to Champions Week. You do, but you know, for me, this isn't about the journey of competitive darts. This is just about me. This is personal for me. This is like just me feeling competitive. Me, you know, it's not about going, right, I want to do this and this and going on that journey. I've walked that road and I've done that journey. It's not about trying to do that journey again. This is just, in a sense, a bit selfish that I just want to go and feel competitive and play darts and just enjoy being competitive. So, it's not about what's the pathway like, what's the road like, what's the journey. If I get through the Champions Week, would I go? I don't think I'm even available. I think we're filming Champions Week.
Right. So, it's a bit like the old Q School story, isn't it? If I get through, I'm not going to the next stage. And I mean, have you lost that fire in your belly to want to be one of the best players in the world now? Is it you want to be better, the best commentator in the world, or what, you know, taking a different path, the best YouTube channel in the world, or that is, I guess that never leaves you, because even when people say to me, when they see me throw the odd good dart, they're like, oh, why don't you have another go? And I'm like for one split second, I go, and then I go, yeah, I'm too old now. And it's a young man's game and everything else. Is there still some fire in the belly for that or not, Matt?
Never had it. I genuinely never had it. Wow. I had my fire in the belly was never to be the best in the world. That was never my inspiration. My inspiration was to be a professional dart player. And if I was to offer advice to anyone else, I'd probably say maybe that's aiming a little bit low. But my goal was always just to be a pro. I just wanted my job to be playing darts. And I did. I had that. Do I want it again? Probably not. I'm very, very happy with what I do. But do I still want to play? Yes, I still want to have a game. But I don't want it to be my job. I love my job. I do now. I don't want to go back to that. I don't like the lifestyle. And I didn't realize I didn't like the lifestyle until I came out of it. Because actually, what I love now is I've just had about 4 remittance notices hit my email today. And I go, it's payday. Because of all the work I've done, I'm getting these remittance notices. Imagine playing Dirk, who averaged 117. What can you do? You've done everything right. You've done your job. You've turned up. You've practiced. You've prepared. You've done everything right. You put all the expenses in that come to it, and you run into that. You're not getting paid now. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. You've flown over. You've took 3 days off. You've got settled in your hotel. You've practiced like crazy. Like you say, you've done absolutely everything. And it used to break me the year that I did on the BDO, because you'd go to it was even worse. Some of those were best of 5 games. So you'd go all the way to Finland. It's a 3-day trip. You know, you're traveling there and traveling back. You're staying in a hotel that maybe is not the best. The food, you don't really know where to eat, and you're in a time's different, and you get up for it and you're ready. And this guy, just you've never heard of in your life, has the game of his life, averages like late 90s and beats you 3-1. It takes less than 15 minutes and that's it, you're going home. And it's like, oh my god, what, oh, I could have done so much more with these 3 days, and all I've got for it is 15 minutes to show. I've got no money because I didn't win anything. I'm going home. I've got no ranking points. And then I've watched this guy in the next round average 65, his kind of normal game, and got beat. And you're just like, this is a, my head's exploding. So, I guess that's relevant to all levels. It's different if you're a top 16 player and somebody does that against you, because you know you're coming back next week as a seed. And it's not going to happen every week. I mean, I know players do get on some bad runs. There was a time, I seem to remember it vaguely, a time when Jamie Cavan, back in the day, he seemed to get Taylor or Van Gerwen every first round, was getting smashed, and he'd be averaging like 100 getting smashed. And you're like, he must be, really demotivated. But I guess it's the same at every level. So maybe your attitude this week of, I'm here, I'm going to enjoy it, not really bothered. I've got no, if I qualify, I probably can't play. Maybe we'll see you be super relaxed.
I'm playing because I want to play, not because I have to. And there'll be a lot of people that are playing because they have to. They need the money. They need the opportunity. They need the time, the exposure for sponsors, things like that. There's lots of different reasons why people would need to play something like this. I just play because I want to. And that's a big difference. Nice. So,
Nice. Have they sold out for the Saturday? Do you know? Is there going to be a few fans there and stuff?
There's quite a few, but they you don't know till Friday. If you're in. So I'm guessing there'll be some people hanging on, but I know it's probably, I think it's half sold already or just over half now. So, and that's about the lineup there. So it's just with the possibility.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Also noticed we get asked this a lot about walk-on songs and what would your walk-on song be and what would the best walk-on song be and who do you think's got the best and all that. And we've talked about this loads. Just one thing I noticed from it was Martin Schindler should clearly come on to Another Brick in the Wall. I don't understand why he's not coming on to that. Surely that's a tie-in with his nickname. Would you like that or not?
How does that go?
You want, no, because you want me to sing it now. You do this every time. You did that with such a straight face then, and I nearly bought it.
No, I don't know the song.
Bit no Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall. It's just Another Brick in the Wall. I mean, I know it's before your time. It's a 70s song. But
the only song I know from you've done is the ding 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 ding.
Yeah. That was what were we doing that for? It was The Shadows, wasn't it, or something?
That's where you said Steelers. You went, Matt, have you ever seen a shadow bigger than that? Yeah, yours.
Yes. Very good. Yeah, I knew you'd remember that. By the way, lots of people been sending in videos for Rate My Throw, which we haven't actually asked for. We're currently going out with series two, but I can honestly say there's almost enough for series three already. So thank you for all those that have sent them in. If I haven't replied, it's not because I haven't seen them. They're just banked for whenever we do the next series.
I've already filmed for series three. Series three I filmed the other day with the pro players.
Cool. So we're going to do a pro players series three, which is exciting. That's Monday nights at 7 on the main channel, if you haven't seen that yet, where we analyze other people's throws. It's not coaching. We got a bit of a stick for being harsh, but then the actual people go, thanks very much. That's what I wanted to hear.
You got a bit of stick for being harsh.
I'm harsh Andy. So I'm bound to get it, aren't I? But the guy himself was like, no, that's what you want to hear. I mean, there's no good pussyfooting, is there? Going, it's lovely. You look great. Fantastic. Everything's wonderful. You know, I think we live in a world of that now, don't we? We live in a world where everything's wonderful.
Yeah. Feedback often isn't true unless there's something in it essentially that, like, it's not always going to be great, is it? Like, say, and if you're asking for feedback, you're not asking for a pat on the back. If you're asking for feedback, you're asking for what you need to work on. You're asking someone for, what do I need to improve here? Where do I need to be looking?
I have the odd golf lesson. It's exactly the same. It'd be like, what are you doing that for? Why are you doing it? I'm like, well, what do you mean? It's like, well, you're swinging it like a idiot. And I'm like, oh, okay. You just got to take it and move on. Right, a question. In fact, it's a bit of a shout out and a question. was from Rob Eldridge, who has opened a new darts room called, and I like this, nice name, The Boardroom.
Like that.
He's opened a darts room called The Boardroom in, I want to say, Raleigh. Because it's, look, I think it's spelt like, do you remember Raleigh Bikes? Raleigh, spelt like that, Raleigh, Essex. So shout out to Rob for his new place. Check it out. It says it's open. So anybody living in that area, get in there and check it out. But he was asking if he can show our podcast in the boardroom because he's put a TV up. And I said, yeah, why not? Of course you can. So you might see us. You might get triple Edgar this week if you go into the boardroom in Raleigh, Essex. Makes me think that. But did you ever have a BMX? Have a Raleigh BMX?
No. But I tell you what I did. Remembering cereal, you used to get like the things for your bike, didn't you? I think it was Kellogg's. You used to get the little reflectors that you put on the spokes.
Oh, yeah.
I remember you used to get those little beads that when you rode your bike, they'd go from one side to the other. And you'd be like, tink, 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 tink.
I don't remember them.
You put the beads on. I remember the reflectors. When you rode your bike, the beads went up and down the spokes.
Oh, did they? Oh, no, I don't remember them. But I did have a BMX, but I wanted a chopper. Remember a chopper? Is he too young for that? Remember a chopper? Had like long, long handlebars. It's like the Harley Davidson of bicycles. A chopper. Get in the comments if you remember a chopper. God, I would have killed for one of them. I'm trying to think. They've been in loads of movies. I'm trying to think what. I wanted to say there was one in E.T. then, but I might be wrong. So, yeah, he's going to be showing it in there, which is great. Now, this, we haven't had comment of the week for ages. If one just does that to me, I go, right, I'm going to send you some goodies. So, Nick Taberner 338, send me your details to youtubeemissiondarts.com and I'll send you some goodies because I love this and I'm going to be really interested to see whether you love it or hate it. He's come up with an idea. So, you know, we talked about darts going to Saudi and what we thought things might be different or they might do, you know, things differently and they probably will. He's come up with this idea. So they place on the dartboard above the double 20, a little gold ring, slightly smaller than a bullseye, a gold ring. If anybody hits a 9 darter in the tournament, he then gets one further dart. And if he gets it in the middle of the gold ring, he gets £1 million. So he's just hit a 9 darter. Right, there you go, Mr. Van Gerwen. You've got one dart for £1 million. Got to get it in the gold ring. I think that's brilliant. I think that's absolutely brilliant. Can you imagine the interest if somebody hits a 9 darter? That will explode on the internet. Explode. Whether he hits it or not. Do you like it or not?
I disagree.
Oh. Okay.
So I disagree that would be something that explodes. And the reasons as to why I'll follow up with. Because I'll never disagree with something without telling you as to why. So there's always a why. Now, the reason I don't think it's very important that it's interesting is because it's not important. Yes, it's £1 million. Yes, it'd be really interesting to Michael Van Gerwen, but it doesn't affect anybody but Michael Van Gerwen. When someone wins £1 million at the World Championship, it affects the world rankings. It affects the positions. Players will move up. Players will move down. Someone's going to get into qualification because they've won it. They're going to be in the Premier League. They're going to be in all the majors. They're going to be seeded for all the majors. It's got story behind it, and there are follow-ups that make it relevant throughout the year. Someone throwing one dart to win £1 million. Yeah, it's like, oh, that was good, but it's like, now what? That were great. Oh, Michael Van Gerwen's won £1 million. Good for him. Brilliant. Doesn't go anywhere. That goes in his bank. Job done. There's no payoff other than one person benefiting. One millionaire's just picked up another million. Well, oh, brilliant. Like, thanks.
I was thinking it more of along of a spectacle, a bit like if you've ever watched the golf, when they're on a par three, if they get a hole in one, there's like a car on the tee. And if they get a hole in one, they win that car. So it's kind of separate to the tournament, but within the tournament.
And then, but when have you ever thought afterwards? So Tiger Woods is just at his hole in one, he's got the car. When do you ever sit there and go, what if Tiger Woods is driving that car today? Or if he's like, you just don't give a damn. You don't care.
Yeah, no, true.
You don't think about it. You probably think, oh, he's going to sell that because he's not going to drive that. You know, he's probably got a sponsorship deal for the car he drives. You don't care. And that's the point. It'll be one of those things where you go, woohoo, million quid. Now what? Like, there's okay. So I get that it'd be a nice thing to watch in the moment, but that moment is going to pass. And the second that moment passes, no one cares. No one's going to sit and go, I wonder what Michael's spending that million quid he got on for the golden dart.
But to a point, if you think about the Mike Smith, Michael Van Gerwen 9 data, which I don't need to reference when that was, how many times has that been played since?
But that's because us as a viewer got something from it. We got entertained. We got the best leg of darts that had ever been played in history till that moment, in the biggest game in the world of darts. As a viewer, we got something from that. Someone throwing one dart into a golden section of the board, which has never happened before, so we don't appreciate how hard or how easy it is. We know how hard the nine darter is. We've watched darts for 30-odd years. We appreciate how hard and how rare that leg was. So we all took something from it, and we all collaborate in this moment of pure genius that happened on the board, where we go, wow. Like, if we do a challenge now for YouTube, and we go, look at this challenge, this is really hard, and we did it. The people at home won't appreciate it till they get the darts out and have a go. How many people watch the darts down the pub when the World Championships are on? That's easy. And then have a go and go, actually, I really appreciate how hard that is. You can't have that with that. So there's no appreciation of skill. So with no appreciation of skill and no payoff to the viewer, I think that's where it differs. So what they've got to be very careful of is when they do come up with something, it has that exact thing. It has to have a payoff for the viewer, or it has to have an appreciation of skill. And I don't know if there's an appreciation. I don't know how you do that. I really don't, because in the past they've tried it. The Quadro board was a fine example of trying something different. And it was a novelty that didn't last because there was no appreciation of skill, because people couldn't get their hands on the board. And you couldn't really relate to using that section of the board. So I think we're going down the same road.
Yeah, I think people enjoy the Grand Prix when it comes around with it being double start. It creates a little bit more of something. I'm just trying to think now, how do we evolve? All of the sports seem to have evolved. Snooker's gone shorter and shot clocks, and cricket's gone to like flipping 10 overs. It's like slog it as much as you can, and everything seems to be evolving. I've only just been reading, Bobby George has got a book out. I've been reading Bobby George's book, and he talks about the News of the World, which was always from 8 foot. I didn't know that. The News of the World was you had to throw from 8 foot. And apparently at the time, men were throwing from 7'6". I didn't know that either. I thought men had always thrown from 7'9". But he talks about being people calling him the best 8 foot thrower in the world. He never won the World Championship, but he won the News of the World twice. Do we come up with something where the distance is further, the trebles are smaller? I don't know. Have you had any ideas?
You've got to be careful, because if you make a smaller treble board, does the casual viewer tuning in understand it's a smaller treble board? So if I'm flicking through the channels, oh, darts is on tonight, I'll look at that. Well, these guys aren't very good, are they? These are rubbish. Look, they're missing it all the time. They're only averaging 80. This isn't very good. It's been a bad night of darts, this. I'm not watching that again. But they don't understand. So as a commentator, as a broadcaster, it'd be my job and responsibility to always remind the viewer that it's a harder scenario. That, oh, the Oki's longer. Don't forget the Oki's longer. So if you do understand it, I'm now insulting your intelligence. And as a fan who's going to watch the whole event, you're going to get fed up of me saying it, and you're going to go online and go, Matt, will you please stop saying that the treble? We get the picture. Yeah, but Dave, who's just tuned in tonight, doesn't. And we need to make sure that he's constantly reminded. So the thing about darts at the moment is a very simple game. People talk about cricket all the time. Darts cricket, that is. Let's have a cricket tournament on TV. As a broadcaster, that's a nightmare because I can't commentate on the game. I've got to educate the viewer constantly about the tactics and how the game is played because you can't just watch it because not everyone understands it. So anything that changes has to be clear. So I think the changes have to be format or points-based. Can you tinker with the 501? Can you tinker with the format? Is it set play? Is it leg play? What's that going to be? Then you've got the dilemma. So News of the World. News of the World would be the most boring broadcasted event to ever watch because you're either going to cut walk-ons and you're going to have no entrances, or you're going to be getting ad breaks and stoppages all the time to the point where you watch production rather than watching darts. You'll watch barely any production. It'll just be production all the time. You won't be watching many games. And then off the back of that, you'll get bored. Oh, I'll just flip back on the dart. Oh, I've missed that game because I forgot that it was on. And you'll get channel flickers. And the idea is when someone clicks on darts at 7 o'clock, how can we make them stay till 11 o'clock when the program's ended? Because that becomes a fan. So it has to be simple and it has to be easily measurable.
And interestingly, that's almost happened a few times with me with Euro Tour. I've put a game on. It's got halfway through. I've thought, oh, I'll just go and make a brew and a slice of toast because I really want to watch the next game. And then by the time I've done that and been in the toilet and messed about, I've actually then missed the next game because they can be so quick now. You know, you get two fast players on and you're like, oh, where's that? Oh, I've missed a game. Or you go and do something for half an hour. You come back, you miss three games. Like, oh, how did that happen? Because it's literally, aren't they like 3 or 4 minutes after each other, aren't they? There's that shot clock and everything.
Yes. What's the ad break? Is it 3:12? I think it's 3:17.
Something like that. Yeah. So that, it's an interesting one. Whether, do you know what? But you see, I'm looking this probably as from a different angle, from someone that's been involved in darts so long as of you. I like getting sat down in the World Championship, knowing there's going to be 5-6 sets. I've got my cookies, I've got my brew or my glass of wine, and I know there's going to be ad breaks, but I'm there. I'm into it. I'm into it for the next hour.
You know what you're getting. You've just said it there. Yeah. I know there's going to be this many sets. I know the format. I know the battles. I know what the psychological battle is. You could be 2-0 up and you're not, you know, you're 2-0, 2-0, and you still could end up getting drawn back into battle. You understand it all. So it becomes something that, how's this going to develop? How's this? You don't want to be learning while you're watching something. You want to see something develop. So that's the issue you face. So I think they've got to tread very, very carefully in regards to how you put something into darts.
Quick question. You play the World Championship numerous times. Does it feel quick while you're up there? Does it feel like you're off in...
Oh, yeah. You feel like you never existed.
Yeah. Thought it might. Total random. We haven't been off on a random one yet today. Why am I getting videos coming up on TikTok of squirrels eating chili flavored crisps and then making fun? I think they're fake. I'm like, what? You said it was dogs eating meat the other week. Dogs eating raw meat. Now it's squirrels. People leaving a super hot potato crisp outside the house on a table. Squirrel comes along, eats it, freaks out because it's too hot. It's probably fake because everything's AI now. But I'm like, when did that become a thing?
And people watch that and people make lots of money off of that as well. It's crazy, isn't it? Crazy. I've got one for you.
Yeah.
I was driving down here today. Let me cough. And there's this car right behind me, like, clearly wanting to get past dual carriageway. I'm in the outside lane, right up. And I'm like, right, I'll just overtake this car. I'll pull in, let him go past. Boom, bombs it past. Right, okay. I'm just sat comfortably, cruise control, just coming around. I'm driving down the road. I overtake him. What is it with people? They're like, I've got to be in front. And when they overtake people, they slow down. Like, I overtook him about within a couple of minutes. I'm like, oh, that's that guy who was just... And then I just left him in dust and I'm on cruise control. So my speed's not changed at all. And he's gone from razzing past me to me, like, cruising by him, just leaving him for dust. Weird.
Did he come past you again? Because I've seen that.
No.
No, he just... That was him done. He'd had his little blowout and then... Yeah, I can't really... That's another thing that keeps coming up online is dash cams of, like, crazy drivers. To be fair, I can watch them all night. There's some... You just think, wow, what is actually going on? And other than that, you know, I like my... about 50 birds just landed on the roof opposite, which is weird. Although I did see something about that. If you hear something totally random, if you ever drive past somebody's house and their roof is covered in birds, do you know what that signifies? That it's very hot in the upstairs room. What could possibly be going on up there that maybe they don't want people to know about that would make the roof very warm? UV lamps, and I'll let you make your own mind up there, but apparently that's what it is. If you ever see like 100 birds on a roof, there might be something illegal going on up there. Anyway, totally forgot what I was talking about now. Yeah, totally.
And where did you say those
birds? Oh, yeah. I was talking about...
Did you just say they landed on your roof?
No, they've flown off now. No, the roof opposite, but they've flown off now.
Right.
You know I like my horror movies. So that that monster thing's come on this week about Ed Gein. I know you're not into the horrors, but I think it's on Netflix this week. I started watching that. I'm like, this is a bit too much. Like, I kind of wanted to know the story, but it's a little bit... The guy, really super famous actor who's doing it, and he's doing a brilliant job, but it's a little bit too much, to be honest. So I can't recommend it. Anybody's thinking about watching it, it's a little bit... Yeah, a little bit gruesome. But... what else is going on with you?
I've got a story for you, actually. This, do you know the generational stuff that we talk about? There's a generational one here for you. So my son opened his phone and he's made a character of himself, like a cartoonized character.
Oh, I've seen them avatar things where it, yeah, it's like, yeah. Has he made it?
He looks like one of the Gallaghers from Oasis. He doesn't even wear glasses, but he's got the things on. And I said to him, I says, you look like you're in Oasis. He goes, what? I says, Oasis. He goes, what, the drink? I'm like, you don't go through Oasis are. Like, and it's such a generational thing. He thinks it's a drink. He's like, what am I doing in a bottle of pop, Dad? Like,
Yeah. Is this a real thing? That I keep seeing, if you now get a Coca-Cola, you're only allowed one. If you go somewhere like Burger King and you've got a burger, fries and a...
Refills. Yeah.
Refills, that's what I'm mad about. Is that a real thing?
A sugared ones, yeah.
You can only have one.
Sugared, I can't have sugary refills.
Why? Why?
I mean, I didn't make the decision, so I'm not. But I tell you what, when we're on the road again, you'll be disappointed with that one because I know you normally like a refill.
Yeah, I like the full sugar, and you like the you're okay on the zero, aren't you? So you're okay. So you can drink as much zero as you want, but you can't drink as much normal Coke as you want.
No,
just one. I'd love to know who's made that decision and why. Maybe again, somebody
get a obesity, won't it? It'd be obesity and things like that, and trying to take the pressure off the NHS and all that malarkey.
Is that what it'll be?
Yeah.
I think you'd be a good politician, Matt, do you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You'd sort them out, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Got it in me.
Right, look, everybody's going to be desperate to know this question. You might not be desperate to answer it, but what will be now, from now, it's 5 o'clock or something like that. What's Matt Edgar doing from now until you throw your first dart in anger tomorrow? Is it early to bed? Is it Chateaubriand? Is it?
I'm going Castle Brazil. Line?
Is it? Castle Brazil. That's your next favorite, isn't it?
I was going to go at five, but then you was like, we really need to get this podcast done. So I'm like, right, yeah. I'll have to delay it a little bit. Then so.
Casa Brazil. And then is it up early, down the gym, or no gym in the morning?
No. I'm going to try and lay in as late as I can because it's a late night start. So try and lay
in. Oh,
as
you're not playing in the morning then?
No, I'm 10 o'clock in the evening.
What? Your first game?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so try and stay in bed as long as I can. I would say I'd show you a little sneak preview into one of my special shirts I've got for this, but there's no point because everyone would have seen it by the time this goes out. So,
well, not if they've not had chances to watch it. That'd be nice, man.
Got a little special one.
Yeah, show us the one for Saturday in case you don't get there. Well, that was
just my normal one. Just my normal one Saturday. Friday, I've got a little special one.
Oh, it's not the return of the dark break kid, is it?
No, different wrestling inspired shirt. It's actually one I'd made for Lakeside, but I never got past the first round. So I thought I might as well give it an outing.
You've got a bit of a tash there. It's not Hulk Hogan related, is it?
No, that was years ago, Hulk Hogan.
Was it?
I did that Ali Pally, that one. So shall we make some predictions? Let's see who gets this right. Oh, you were selling me a fiver, by the way. No wonder your phone was sick. No wonder your phone's been sick this week.
Yeah, fiver.
Twice Andy's phoned in sick now. Phoned in sick last week and this week. And I've realised why. He owes me a fiver.
Yeah, well, nothing to do with the fact I'm waiting for a hospital appointment to go and have scans of my bladder now. But, yeah, I mean, I'm drugged up to the eyeballs right now. So if I'm sounding a bit weird, man, most people say you just sound as normal. But, yeah, I've had quite a lot of strong painkillers this afternoon to get me through this. We'll do prediction. Yeah. What are we predicting?
The European Championships.
Oh, right, okay.
Are we doing?
Double or quitsing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Same one. I get to pick three players. You get the field.
I can't give you three players, kind of, after you when you've won. That goes down to two, doesn't it? And then if you win again, it goes down to one.
No, you can't.
You know how this works. So you can have two this time. Double the quits on your fiver. Who are you going for?
I'm pretty sure I know
one of them's going to be. No, you're not having three.
Okay. I'm going to...
This is the one that's best of 11 the whole way through, isn't it?
No. This grows as it goes. But I'm going to play my reverse Uno card, and I'm going to let you have the two players, and I'm going to have the 30. I'll let you do the picking.
Okay. And I can't see the draw, but there's just the two that stick out a mile to me. I have to go Luke Littler, who's the best player in the world. I have to go Nathan Aspinall, he's the form player.
Okay.
So I'll go Luke Littler and Nathan Aspinall.
And
so you've got the rest.
Okay. And Nathan Aspinall is the number one seed, plays Rob Cross in the first round. Luke Littler, number four seed, plays Raymond Van Barnwell. Could be world number one by the end of this tournament, Luke Littler. He's only £19,500 away, I believe, from Luke Humphries now. But they are both in the top half, so you've put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, I'm only going to have one finalist, aren't I? At the end of the day, I can't have both finalists, but I have to go with those two. But on current form, there's no reason why Nathan couldn't beat Luke. It all depends. So I'm having those two then, which you've conned me into because it should have gone down to two for you. But this is what he does, and he's very clever at it.
No, you gave me the choice last time. You said
you'll take my £10 next week. So if you'd had to have two, who would yours two have been?
The logic thing would be Littler and Humphries. That's where I thought you would go. But they could play each other in the quarterfinals. So I would probably have gone for Littler, just because, like you say...
They're in the same half as well?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So the other half, then, somebody's got a real chance.
But you say that, you've got Ross Smith playing well, Gerwyn Price playing well, Wessel Nyman plays Van Gerwen, Dobie and Bunting are playing each other, Kian Van Veen, Johnny Clayton, Ryan Searle. It's a tough section.
I'd probably... I wouldn't even know where to go. That you're right. That's very open. That's very open, the other half. Interesting. Interesting, but to be fair, I'm not really bothered. I just want to see who wins Modus.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about, mate. That's what it's all about. We will be back next week to report on the European Championships, on Matt's winning Modus, and lots of other topics. Slightly shorter than normal episode this week. I'm under the weather. Matt's struggling with his Wi-Fi in the hotel in the middle of Portsmouth. But thanks again for watching, as always. And we'll be back same time Sunday at 7.